Welcome to Take It From the Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. Take it from the Iron Woman. We only have special guests, and today we even have an Olympian here. So it's Phil Schuffenhauer. He is a three-time Olympian and silver medalist, but he's also executive leadership coach, speaker. And my question is for him, what haven't you done? But maybe, Bill, tell us a little bit your story, introduce yourself. And before we go into your details, take it from the Iron Woman we heard is the 1% of the 1% because we have more than 400 episodes. This is a big achievement. Maybe we get a gold medal. But first, we want to hear from the real Olympian. Welcome, Bill. So happy to have you.
Awesome, Suzanne. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. And my name is Bill Schuffenhauer. I am a three-time Olympian and Olympic silver medalist with Team USA in the sport of bobsleigh, as we say internationally. If you live in the United States, bobsled. I was a guy that grew up here locally in Salt Lake City, Utah. Against all odds, I was born with drug addicted parents, lived on and off the street, foster homes, 17 different foster homes, born into a really, really negative situation. And at a young age, I just wanted to prove to myself that it doesn't matter where you come from. We have the opportunity in this omnipotent world to create a life by design, as long as we just take the actions to do so. There's a lot of stuff that we talk about on all the things that I do. And outside of consulting, coaching, I'm a technology executive partner in 13 different companies. I serve as the president of the Utah Olympic and Paralympic Alumni for Utah, and just recently got notified that I was voted in as one of the new presidents for the national chapter. Super excited about that, and to continue to have an opportunity to be a part of the Olympic and Paralympic movement and give back now has always been a dream of mine. And to couple that with like my business, just got married last year, and life is just so good right now.
Life seems very good. You go on and on for 2 minutes with all your accomplishments. I'm just like, where do we start? Now seems like life seems so glamorous. But when you also said homeless, drug addict, maybe let's start there and see where the reality is. This is hard. I studied psychology, but I'm wondering, how hard is it for you to talk about this? There's one thing when you're in it, you're almost on autopilot, but then reflecting back and talking about it, my heart is hurting when I hear this. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I found out a long time ago, one of the best ways for me to address those childhood traumas was to talk about it. As we know, we live in a huge world of 8 billion people, and there's other people around the world that are probably going through similar situations, or they can identify with that situation. For me, I just didn't want to be a victim of my situation. I wanted to take that negative situation and flip it on its head and find a way to create on a level that no one ever expected, right? You're this kid who grew up homeless, drug addicted parents, lived on the streets. So the expectation was for me to never accomplish anything. And in fact, the expectation was to follow the footsteps of that and get in trouble myself and be a part of the legal system and in jail and prison or all that stuff. And I just realized that I didn't want that for myself. And we live in this omnipotent world where there's so much opportunity for everyone around the world, but we also have to get out of our own way sometimes. I just knew that at a young age, seventh grade, I wanted to provide a life for my family that I wasn't provided as a child. And so I just tried to start finding things that I was good at, which, funny enough, at the time, I was good at running from police and jumping fences. So naturally, athletics became a really good thing for me.
Yeah.
And so a good example, a negative situation, it turned into a positive. And we all have that opportunity as long as we take 100% accountability for everything that's happening in our life, right? Or else, who knows? We've talked a little bit, a very small little bit about all of my accomplishments, but none of that would have ever have happened if I didn't take accountability for my own life and say, I have an opportunity to create a life 100% by design and achieve and accomplish and do whatever it is I want in this world. The reflecting back on the past, on the chaos and the bad times, I utilize that as a tool to continue to inspire and motivate me to keep doing good. And by telling my story, the hopes is that somebody's listening that might, again, might be in the same situation or they identify with it. They might hear this story, this conversation that you and I are having, and then think to themselves, hey, there's an opportunity where I can actually overcome or achieve greatness on a whole nother level. All I need to do is take accountability to start.
Did you have anybody helping you to get into sports? Like you said, seventh grade, that was like a pivotal moment in your life. I don't want to end up as a statistic of homeless parents, drug addiction. I don't want to go there and that going down that downward spiral.
Yeah, there wasn't really anybody that said, hey, you should do sports. I was in seventh grade and I just moved from the city to a very like suburban place. I didn't fit in at all. I was the only kid of color at the time. And so I wanted to fit in, right? I was looking for like resources or opportunities that I could get involved. That's one thing a lot of times people don't do. They fear getting involved. They fear making change. And in my mind, I've got to get involved. I've got to make changes in my life or else nothing will change. I just happened to come across athletics because one day I was following this kid that everyone likes. He was an athlete, student body, all these cool things. And I followed him out one day after school and he's with all these other kids and they're jumping over stuff and handing this baton over. I just was like, that looks like a lot of fun. Because of my background of being in trouble with the law, I think I can do this. And it was that first little belief in myself that I was like, I think I can do this. I got kicked off the track team my first year for mouthing off to the coach. So lesson learned. But the next year when I did make the team and learned the value of like goal setting, team building, accountability, collaboration, camaraderie, strategic planning, I really, really enjoyed that. And then on top of that, like I won my first 100-yard race. The feeling when everyone rushes up to you and is like, oh, good job. I just really, really enjoyed that. I hooked on to what that was and then just became more curious about life and more curious about, oh, if this is this good here, like what else is there? Not so much as the grass greener on the other side, but what other opportunities can I learn? That's when I started reaching out to like my teachers, the coaches, and said, hey, I want to change my stars. I want to like divert the expectation for my life and try and create a life that no one ever expected. And I don't know what that looks like yet, but I don't want to be over here gangbanging and getting in trouble with the law. And what's amazing when you are vulnerable enough in your own space to ask for help, people want to help. We're human beings, and that's what we're meant to do, is be of service to one another. I've just really like carried that philosophy throughout my whole career. It just really served me really, really well.
I see a lot of people who like, oh, but you're an Olympian. They're kind of like, oh, let me follow you. But we all know it's a lot of hard work. And you said the word that comes to my mind is opportunity. So you were like, people were like, you can do this, you're good. It's also the support and the love that you felt maybe for the first time. And then you were uplifted, but you were also asking and you took the opportunity to get to the next, to the next, to the next. I'm assuming you were just excelling at what you're doing. And then, hey, join our team. And then everything was easy, or how did that go?
I don't know if it's ever easy. We always hit those moments of time where you get in the zone. Yeah. Oh, this is great. But yeah, I loved it. I started having people ask me to be a part of their team, a part of this group. Hey, come join the science fair. Hey, we're going to run a 4x100 meter team. And just that feeling of belonging at the foundation, again, of us being human beings, we all have that feeling that we want to belong to something. We want to be a part of something. But again, none of that would have happened if I didn't ask for help, if I didn't choose to get engaged on multiple levels. Again, I'll say this until we're like blue in the face. There's just so many opportunities in this world. And it's all about trying to figure out, like, what is it that you want to do in life? Not what your parents want you to do, not what your best friends or society thinks that you want to do. At the end of the day, what would make you happy? And let's find out what that is, because that's what I did. I didn't have any idea what I wanted to do. But I knew, like, the first time I ran a track meet in junior high school and won the 100-meter dash, the feeling of the competition and the praise and winning and the success, I was addicted to that and just vowed from a long time ago that I always wanted to be a part of that at some point in time and at some level. As we go through time and I create success, the learning lesson of giving back has been monumental as well.
Tell us a little bit about the decathlon. Like, who knows about that? I know it's multi sports, but I didn't know all the details. So the listeners need to know, because I think sometimes triathlon, marathoning, it's part of Olympic Games, but nobody's watching it, unfortunately. So those sports who have fewer viewership, it's not the sexy sports that we see, a 100-yard dash with Usain Bolt or whoever those people are. What is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny too, because you talk about the triathlon and the decathlon, some of the most difficult sports in the sporting world. They take more commitment, they take more time, they take more resources. There's a lot more ups and downs, because we're not just dealing with the 100 meters or the swim. We're combining multiple events into one to try and be the very best at what we do. In high school, when I became in 10th grade, that's honestly how the coaches sold it to me. Hey, there's this event in track called the decathlon. The reality is the decathlete is considered one of the best athletes in the world. And I was sold. That's what I want to be a part of. I want to be the kid who grew up with nothing. No one ever expected me to accomplish anything. And I want to transition that into becoming one of the best athletes in the entire world. And I knew if I pursued that, that would open up multiple opportunities along the journey of life for me to do everything I wanted to do in life and then some. Again, understanding the commitment and the time that it took to be a decathlete, I loved it. I was constantly out there just like a triathlete, working not only on myself, but working on my craft. And through that, I became a better human being as well. So for the people out there that don't know, the decathlete is an event within the track and field world, the athletics world. It's competed over 2 days. The first day you have the 100 meter dash, the long jump, the shot put, the high jump, the 400 meter hurdles. And then you go home and you rest and you try to get ready for the next day, even though typically you're sore and exhausted and mentally tapped out. You come back for another whole day of this stuff, from the 110 meter hurdles, the discus, the pole vault, the javelin, and my favorite, the 1500 meter run at the very end of the decathlon. And it's comprised of the decathlon. There's a decathlon book that's how you score the decathlon. So for example, in the 100 meters, you might run 10 seconds flat and that'd be worth like 1,040 points. Then if you run 10,000, or if you run a 10.01, that's worth a certain amount of points. So there's an entire book and it's a lot of strategy that goes into these competitions for the athletes and the coaches to try and make their marks. Whatever they're trying to accomplish, it's all done based off of the decathlon book and how many points you score at each individual event that you add up at the end to eventually hit 7,000, 8,000, 8,500 points or so.
I don't find any words. I feel like the triathlon, the Ironman is like nothing, except it's in one day, but you do 2 days. So I can only imagine how long you must be training. But on the other hand, we also know when you're training multiple sports activities, it becomes a little easier, because I felt as a marathon runner, actually the triathlon was easier to train for it was easier on the body. So how is that with 10 different activities?
I loved it. I loved almost being a master of all the things in my sport. The reason I loved it also is because I also added more value to my team. So I could go, if there wasn't a decathlon, they could be like, oh, hey, put Billy in the hurdles and the long jump and the javelin and the high jump, right? And I could go there and have an impact. I may not be scoring first place on all of them, but that wasn't the point. The point was to have an impact and score some points to help my team overall. I'm what I call a student of the game. And that game is the game of life for me and whatever I'm involved in. So whether it's my relationship with my wife, whether it's my businesses, whether it's nonprofits or whatever, I'm a student of the game and just learning more and more about how those things work and how it can not only help me become a better person, but how can I also add value to whatever it is that I'm a part of? I love it. And so that's hence why I'm a partner in 13 companies, hence why I did the decathlon, and just continues to help me like really focus on something bigger than myself in the bigger picture. And again, at the end of the day, it's helped me become a better person.
You're a fantastic person. And you have grown with the being curious, getting out of a situation, running away from the police, but running then to the Olympics. I think that's the picture I want to keep for you. Tell us a little bit about the bobsleigh.
Bobsleigh, obviously an event I had absolutely no idea that it existed. I was training for the 2000 Sydney Olympics in the decathlon. I was ranked top three in the world in the decathlon at the time. And ended up having an injury 2 weeks before Olympic trials that took me out. Fortunately, I knew some people that introduced me to, they're like, oh, you should do this sport called the bobsled. And I was like, who is Bob and what is sled? What is this? And I didn't know anything about the Winter Olympics. And they're like, hey, track and field guys and football guys like you that are fast and powerful are great. They just transition really, really well. When I was talking to my team, my family, my coaches, we had about a year and 3 months before the Olympics. And we just basically said, why not? Let's just do what we did in sport, in athletics, become a student of bobsleigh, learn in and out what it takes to become a good bobsleigh athlete, and let's just go for it. How cool would that be if we were able to write this story? Bill Schiffenhauer, this kid off of the streets of Salt Lake City, turns his life around to then make the Olympics in the same city he grew up in, homeless. That would be like a fairy tale story. And we have an opportunity to create that. So why not? And so obviously having to learn a lot about the sled and how two guys and four guys push this massive object down a hill and jump in. And depending on the track and where you're at in the world, going anywhere from 75 to 100 miles per hour and experiencing up to like seven G forces of pressure. It was exhilarating. It was another challenge. And I love challenges. Anything that comes easy is not as rewarding, but if it's really, really challenging and you accomplish it, that feeling of I've done it is so much better. And the time frame we had, a year and 3 months, to switch sports completely and go to a sport we've never known. Not only that, in pursuit of making an Olympic team, the challenge doesn't get a whole lot bigger than that. And I just loved it. Obviously, watched the movie Cool Runnings. That's how I was introduced to it. It's through Cool Runnings.
I just wanted to ask about that, the Jamaicans bob team. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. So had an opportunity to watch the movie Cool Runnings. Then I saw a few videos of, funny enough, we talked about this earlier, the U.S. team competing in St. Moritz was the first real video that I had an opportunity to watch. When I saw the actual team, the athletes competing in St. Moritz, that's when I really noticed the overall pure athletic ability it took to be a great bobsled athlete. I want to do this. It wasn't so much that, oh, I was supposed to do it in track and field, or I was supposed to do it in tennis or whatever. The vision and the goal was to make the Olympics, and it didn't really matter what sport. So we just said, let's just go for it and see what we can create from this opportunity. And it worked out really, really well.
They found you. It almost seems like you were the diamond in the raw and they chiseled at you like, okay, then let's go to the other sports event. What other sports would you like to try and become another Olympian? What is possible still?
No, for me, it's all about family now. As an athlete, I spent a lot of time on the road and away from family. There were some negative effects from that. It is what it is. But again, now I have this opportunity to be home and be here for my family. So that's one Olympics. And the other Olympics for me is this business stuff that I'm doing and mentoring and coaching and giving back. And just doing things that I think could really impact humanity. I'm not here to tell anyone what to do. I'm simply here to be a role model and showing people on what's possible and what's really worked well for me, as well as other people I've had, people and organizations I've had an opportunity to work with. As far as actual sports, I'm just casual now, go to the gym and go jog and go hike. But like my big, big goals is to really take care of my family and just create some businesses and some nonprofits that really leave an impact on humanity.
I think you're on the right path. When do you ever have the opportunity to talk to an Olympian? What are you taking away from this conversation? Take it from the Iron Woman. We have episodes every Monday with cool people, with inspiring people, impressive people. And also Take It from the Iron Woman is the book Global Business Coaching with Sports Parallels.